This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm John Rosny.
And I'm Colleen Holden.
And today we'll be taking a look at a new hockey league entering into the Bloomington-Normal area, recent movements regarding the grad workers union at ISU and its impact on campus, as well as local and state news and sports.
Minor league hockey is making its way into the Bloomington-Normal area. Grusted Dream Motors Arena will soon be home to the newly formed hockey team, the Bloomington Bisons. Riley Klump from the WZND News Team has more.
My first question would be, how did this all come about?
So about 9 months ago, the Hallett family was kind of searching for a place to have a hockey team. So we started conversations with them. They visited over the phone, and then they came to visit Bloomington, visited the arena, and kind of started a conversation. And as time went on, we both thought that, you know, this is a partnership that could be successful on both ends.
Are there any teams in particular they will be playing that, like, Bloomington is super excited about?
I think the whole Central Division is exciting. So we're the only team in Illinois, but they've got teams in Iowa, two teams in Indiana, a couple teams in Ohio and Michigan. So a lot of natural geographic rivals that are always exciting. And then Fort Wayne has been in our league before, back when there was pro hockey here. And that was always kind of a rivalry. So it'd be good to see people from Fort Wayne back in the building.
And when was, like, the last time that, like, we did that?
So we had USHL hockey, which was kids kind of before they went to college. Some of them were drafted in the NHL. They played here, but that's been 5 years since that team was here, and it's been over 10 years since we've had pro hockey.
Okay, yeah, so it's definitely been a little bit. It's time for something.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think I did see the name already, but can you verify that it's the Bison?
Yep, the Bloomington Bison.
Do you know how that name came about?
The Hallett Sports looked at some marketing firms, and they said they had about 50 different team names that they kind of went through, and they wanted something that was kind of a nod to the history of the mid, you know, the prairies of the Midwest where the bison used to roam. That's kind of where it came from, obviously, that and the alliteration of just being Bloomington Bison.
Is there already a team put together for this, or will they be, like, putting one together?
Nope, they'll put one together. It'll be affiliated with an NHL and AHL team, so they'll get 5 or 6, 7 players that are under contract with that NHL team, and then the rest they'll go out and find for next year. But that they won't know kind of who's on the team till October of next year.
Okay. Why is this important for Bloomington?
This is the only pro sports franchise we have. So having a pro sports franchise, we can all kind of get behind. And this is important to have an anchor tenant here at the arena. It's good for the arena. It's good for downtown businesses. It's good for the community as a whole. We're excited to be able to not only offer the hockey, but also, you know, all those people who might come to dinner before the game downtown and go out for a drink afterwards. And, you know, the opposing fans traveling and staying in the hotels locally. It's going to be a big deal.
My other question was, is there, like, any other important information from the press conference?
Yeah, so if anybody's interested, they are taking deposits on season tickets. $50 will basically hold your spot for season tickets for next year. BloomingtonBisonHockey.com is the website.
The Bisons will begin their first official season in October.
Despite many graduate students filling the many needed teaching assistant positions at ISU, the Grad Workers Union reports that many of its members working for the university are unable to make basic living costs on the salary they earn as teaching aides. WZND's Joey De La Hunte spoke with Stephen Lazaroff of the GWU and what the recent talks between the union and the university means for students.
How long have the grad workers at ISU been unionized?
We have been officially unionized since, I believe it's the fall of 2018, and bargaining on the first contract began in fall 2019, so it was another year.
How many members does the union have? Who do you all represent?
We represent 450, yeah, it's a little over 450 graduate teaching assistants at ISU. People that are in front of the classroom and, for the most part, right, our instructors of record. Like, they're the person listed on the course just like any professor.
What are the main concerns of the union? Like, what is being advocated for in these negotiations?
Yeah, the major thing I would say is always wages. You know, the answer to a lot of problems is more money. And especially because our members report that they overwhelmingly, like 70% of them, tell us that they are anxious and depressed specifically because of the low wages and the fact that they struggle to pay rent and to eat and to get the proper health care. We care about wages, right? Because wages, the effects of wages ripples out. And we care about our work being recognized. That's another thing we're fighting for. You know, we're fighting to be seen as researchers, too, because the university benefits from our research, too. It's a commodity that circulates to the university's benefit. We are also, you know, bargaining over workplace discrimination, you know, stuff, grievance materials, health care, a little bit, modifications there. Fees, of course, the student fees are huge. We're about to make a proposal tomorrow that I can't exactly talk about yet, you know. We're going to make a proposal tomorrow that is going to be very, I guess, indicative of how much we care about the fees. And because our membership cares about those fees, like all students do. They cost us like something like $2,600 a year if you're a graduate worker.
Student fees, can you expand on that? What is that?
So student fees, undergrads pay them too. There are a variety of like hidden costs that I say hidden because so many people come here and they think, you know, they're thinking of the compensation package as their stipend. And they're like, okay, I can live on whatever that is, right? I'm trying to figure it out. It's not much, but I can figure it out. And then sometimes they come here and they find out, oh, $1,300 a semester coming out. I mean, for a lot of our members, but yeah, the people at the minimum are the overwhelming majority of our unit, and they stand to benefit the most. But we're fighting for fee reductions because fee reductions affect everybody in our unit. Be the same. People in our unit are paid differently, you know, in different departments. But like something like 65% of our people make the minimum of either $10,009 or $11,009.
I know you're not at complete liberty to say, but how are negotiations going?
I can definitely speak on them. I mean, they're going pretty. They're not going very successfully. We had a mediator come in July, and that has not gone well. He has not done a good job of mediation, in my personal opinion, on the bargaining team. At times has really been, you know, on the management side of things, and that's been difficult. So, but we're fighting, and we are building to an all-out tomorrow. We're having an all-out to bargaining. We're encouraging our members to come out and observe and to wear orange, and faculty are joining us, folks from the faculty union. Representatives from their union will be joining us, as well as from other unions.
So I wanted to ask you sort of in a different direction. A basketball game, there was this big banner that y'all unfurled reading, ISU pays poverty wages, which is, you know, a frequent slogan of yours.
Yes.
Do you think most people at the university are aware of sort of the ongoing issues of y'all's payment?
That's an interesting question. Are they aware of it? They're aware that it's a problem to us, but it's not a problem to them. And that's why we carry that banner around, because it's embarrassing to them. They should be embarrassed that people are going to a food pantry while they have hundreds of millions of dollars. They should be deeply embarrassed. And so we carry that banner around until it's over. And we made a new banner to accompany it. It said, pay grad workers fairly, because we wanted to clarify what we needed.
In the past, regarding sort of these negotiations, I've heard sort of talks of a potential strike. Is that still on the table?
Oh, definitely. We, our bargaining team and our steering committee actually set, as part of our spring calendar, we are planning a strike vote, and we're telling members and our unit that we are building to a strike vote or a ratification. So it's going to be a situation where, right, you vote yes to strike or you vote no to ratify the contract, whatever's on the table at that time. Because we're getting to the point where, you know, I guess cliche-wise, push comes to shove, and we're building to have the most power possible and the strongest possible union so that we can win the best possible contract.
I mean, obviously grad workers do a lot at the university. What sort of effect would you see that strike having?
It would have tremendous effect on the university. Like I said, hundreds of us are instructors of record of courses. I teach English 165 and I teach English 125, right? Those are 60 undergrads right there. I'm not saying that they're going to be like the undergrads are hurt, but the university is hurt by the fact that those classes are not happening. And it's a combination of factors, right? You strike in order to draw attention, but you also strike because economically it's hitting them right where it hurts. It shows that without us, stuff will stop. You need us.
I know the other day some of your members were giving speeches at the Academic Senate. Is that right? How did that go?
It went well. We gave speeches that basically we read out. We spoke about the banner drop and the reasons why, you know, we are seeking the wages we're seeking. I don't want to reiterate that, but the poverty wages situation. And so we also highlighted something that I think is, you know, important to say, and I'm trying to say it as much as possible, which is in the bargaining table, ISU management is saying, they're not telling us they don't have more money, right? They're not sitting there saying, hey, we wish we could pay you more. They're telling us we're paying you market rate. We're paying you competitive wages. A fair day's wage for a fair day's work. That's a quote. Now, when they say this, they then say in the next breath, 60th percentile to them is competitive. That is a failing grade. ISU doesn't seek out 60th percentile students, do they? Why are we content with 60th percentile wages? So that's what we talked about at the Academic Senate.
Graduate students cite as one of the largest expenses they must cover as the many student fees paid under their tuition. And with the university announcing a 15% increase in tuition fees for incoming students at specific schools on campus late last week, Colleen, as a sophomore here at ISU, how do you view all this?
Honestly, it's really disheartening. I mean, I know a lot of people in our generation, John, were always told, like, oh, you have to go to college and get a degree so that you can, like, get a good job and everything. But now it's so hard to go to college because of, like, how much it costs. So just, like, raising the price like that, it's very disheartening for, like, all the people that want to go and get their degree and, like, make something of themselves. It's just that much harder.
It is disheartening. I think also as well you've got it where they keep raising the prices, but the degrees that are there, it's not like this 15% increase, which is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
It's not like this increase is going to deter many people from getting it. Do you think people are still going to, we'll see the pretty much the same amount of students coming here for these courses?
Absolutely. I think when I started college, I didn't really know exactly how much I was paying. I just knew that, like, I had to apply for FAFSA and, like, maybe they'd give me some money, maybe they wouldn't. I didn't really know, like, how much of the money I was paying was even really going to tuition versus, like, housing or, like, other, like, student expenses and stuff. Like, I remember in the interview, like, Lazaroff was talking about, like, the student fees and, like, how a lot of people don't really know what they're paying. And that's very much true. I think the increase in tuition isn't really going to deter people because they don't really know how much their tuition actually costs.
Mm. And we've got it where it only applies to specific schools on campus, so it's not a general increase altogether. So you've got it with the College of Business, the College of Nursing, Engineering. I believe there's also cybersecurity in there too. It provides a strange dilemma almost because you've got it where a lot of these jobs, especially something like nursing or engineering or especially now with cybersecurity, they're very high in demand careers.
Yeah.
So it seems strange that the university would be increasing the cost if, like, let's say we want to address a nursing shortage in the country. What do you think on that?
Honestly, I think it's hard because, like, nursing and, like, engineering is definitely, like, when you get an engineering degree, you can do anything with that and, like, get, like, a really rewarding, high-paying job. But it's still, like, it's harder to, like, get those jobs if you don't have the money to pay the tuition. So it's really, it's honestly just kind of, like, making it a lot more exclusive in a position that does not need to be exclusive with, like, the staffing problems that we're having right now. It's just, it's very weird. And it's, I understand why they, like, the university might want to be increasing tuition. Like, you got bills to pay, this, that, and the other. Especially, like, I work for housing. It's very overcrowded in the dorms. This might try to work as a deterrent. But punishing the existing students isn't really going to deter any new students from getting the degrees.
Well, I will mention as well, this is only for incoming students as well coming to ISU. So any current students enrolled, they'll still have their tuition that they locked in with or that they started with. So unfortunately, it's not punitive like that. I think more like you said as well, it's, I guess, covering the costs as well. Because could this also just be that the university is trying to get more teaching staff so they can train more nurses or more engineers or perhaps build more classrooms that can accommodate greater sizes of students?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. But again, it just, like, raising the tuition will only work for the people that can pay the tuition. So it's just, like, creating, like, this air of exclusivity in positions that don't really need exclusivity. And so where we see, like, the increase in tuition from the people that will still pursue it, even despite, like, the extra money, there's a decrease in the people that won't.
Okay, I see. Well, we'll return here after a quick break. After here, we just discussed with the recent grad workers union movement and a potential strike they might have there. We also discussed other developments in the Bloomington Normal area, including the new hockey league arriving to the Bloomington Normal area. Up next, we'll cover a interview with our Redbirds basketball coach for the women's team, Kristen Gillespie. Stay tuned for that in a bit.
You're listening to Second Look, only on WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look here on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've covered Bloomington's new minor league hockey team and the grad student union's continued effort for higher wages.
A robbery took place in Peoria last night that was facilitated through Facebook Marketplace. Two individuals arrived in Peoria to purchase a vehicle they found on the website when they were directed to an alley and robbed at gunpoint. One of the purchasers pulled out a legally owned firearm and fatally shot one of the robbers. The identity of the purchasers is unknown.
The Illinois Department of Transportation has said crews will begin repairing potholes on state highways and interstates. Recent heavy snow, rain, and freezing temperatures has caused an increase in potholes along roadways. Motorists can expect brief lane closures as required and should allow extra time for trips through areas where patching is taking place. Following a shooting in the Chicago suburb of Tinley Park last week, Chicago continues to rank the nation in the highest number of shootings in a major city across the nation. Within the past 11 years, Illinois has accounted for close to 10% of all mass shootings in the nation, including 34 mass shootings in 2023, which resulted in 27 deaths and 143 injuries.
The Redbird men's basketball team fell to the Evansville Aces last night by a close 58-54. This puts the Redbird record at 10-10 going into a game against Murray State on Monday.
The Redbirds men's tennis team will take on Marquette today at noon. The Redbirds go into the game looking for a win after three consecutive 0-7 losses. The University High School boys basketball team here in Normal defeated Decatur Eisenhower by a score of 53-33. This puts the record at 17-7 for the team.
This Wednesday, the Redbirds fought against the Drake University Bulldogs here at home in CEFQ Arena. After a tough match against the top 10 team in the division, the Redbirds defeated the Bulldogs 79-70. The Redbird women's basketball coach, Kristen Gillespie, spoke after the game about the challenges the team faced during the match, with WZND's Joey LeMaster fueling the coach on the performance of the Redbirds and what improvements can be made for their next match.
Man, what an exciting Valley game. And that is the traditional Illinois State, you and I match up. We have so much respect for Coach Warren and her program, but I got to give our players credit. It's no secret that we didn't play our best basketball last weekend, and we came in Monday, and those 13 young women were ready to work. We had three unbelievable days of practice, so I am not surprised about the outcome, because that's how they prepared. So now it's, how do we build? How do we look forward? Because we have a tough task on Saturday. It doesn't get any easier, but I could not be more proud, because I know people keep counting us out. You know, oh, it's a different year. They don't have the same, but we keep answering the call, and that's why they're so much fun to coach.
Abby, the second half, you were primarily guarding Maya McDermott. What makes her so tough to guard?
She's just got some speed to her that, like, even our fastest guards have a hard time guarding. But I knew I had help on those ball screens, so I was just doing my best to do what we were told, just getting over them as best as I could. And she made some tough ones, which was unfortunate, but I think we bounced back each time. So I think.
Kristen, other than the shots going in, obviously, what did you like about that first quarter and the really good offensive start?
I just thought we came out with an incredible sense of urgency. And that's in the games that we have not been as successful. I think we're missing something, and I saw it in the five on the floor's eyes, but I think it went back to our preparation. We were just really locked in, and it's funny how if you have great days of practice, there is a correlation. And, you know, I think Deanna is playing with a great sense of urgency, you know, as a fifth-year senior. You know, she knows that there is a limited time left, and, you know, I think she's doing a great job with the leadership, but just all our players, I think we just have something to prove, too. You know, we don't want to be the team that's up and down. We know that happens at times, but we want to be a little bit more consistent, and today was a good answer to that.
Coach, so you and I was running a press. I was giving the team some troubles in the fourth quarter. What was the plan on tackling? How are you guys able to get through that storm?
Yeah, you know, well, we knew they were kept switching up some of their defenses where they were going zone, a couple different types of zone, and, you know, once again, it's no secret that teams that have pressed us have given us a little bit of issues, but I thought we handled it really well. It's something that we work on, and just, you know, I thought our guards wanted the ball. I think Maya was a little surprised they trapped the first time, but after that, we didn't turn the ball over. It's just a mentality, and it's a mentality that we're trying to work on. If teams want to press, then we got to take advantage, and, you know, what Shannon did, we hit ahead. I think you were the recipient of one of those passes of just, you got to make people pay if they want to play that way.
Coach, obviously some big performances across the board, but fourth quarter especially, it seemed like every time you and I went on a run, Kate hit a big shot. How big was that offense from her late?
Huge, huge, you know, because Kate's the one that it's never about her. She never really looks for her offense, and, you know, she had her feet in. Anytime Kate makes her first three, it's always going to be, I think it just gives her a little bit of boost, but she really didn't get going until the second half, and I think she was just really focused on trying to guard, trying to help D with Grace Buffelli. You know, we weren't happy in the first half about our rebounding. We gave them way too many offensive rebounds. I think we held them to zero in the third quarter. That's, I think Kate gets really focused on defense and rebounding, but then her shots were huge. When she's looking to score like that, we're really hard to guard, because it just gives us an element, because she can stretch you out, she can post you up a little, and I thought we were outstanding on the foul line too.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we discuss the minor league hockey addition to the Bloomington Normal area, an update on the grad students union and sports development with both Redbird teams and local Normal teams. You can catch Second Look again during this time next week. I'm John Rosny.
And I'm Colleen Holden.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.